All right. Good morning. No, I think I'm good. I just wanted to say, after watching that video of people, you know, diving into the deep, I'm with you, Rod. I'll stay here. Although this is my diving into the deep. So I get the same challenge, just in a very different way. Okay. So I'll get set up here. All right, I feel very official today. I haven't done this with the headset and the PowerPoint, so we're really official today. So let's start by opening in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for this time and just for this opportunity to serve you, Lord, and to fellowship with you. And Lord God, I just pray that I just surrender myself to you, Lord, to be used as your vessel. I pray that you would speak to each and every individual in a very individual way, as you do, Lord God, and we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what occurred to me today when I was starting to get a little bit anxious about this is that God will love me no matter how I do today. He loves me now, and he'll love me then, and we just serve such a great and loving God, and I think sometimes it's just good to be reminded that he really is that gracious. So, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. It's probably more of a little bit of personal testimony time than anything else, but my point with sharing this today is I really want to inspire each of you to live every day of your life with more significance and fulfillment in serving our God, and with more awareness and intent. So, remember that. It's really kind of about the awareness and intent, because I think most of you really serve God every day. So I'm just going to try to highlight maybe some different perspective for you to put into play. Okay. So, I'm the clicker. Okay. Oops. So let me give you a little bit of background. One of the things that happened for me recently was I was asked to lead a Christian women's business group. And I got the call really straight out of the clear blue sky. I mean, took me by surprise, had no idea it was coming. And so I was like, that's really kind of wild. Not something that I would normally see myself doing. And so I was like, do I do that? Do I not do that? That's really kind of crazy. So what do? I called Rod and said, hey, Rod, this just happened. What do you think? And he was very encouraging and said, absolutely. I see you doing that. I think you'd be perfect for it. So I think part of my intent in telling you that piece is that I think very often we do not see ourselves in ways that God wants to use us. I know for years people have said to me, You are a prayer warrior. You are an intercessor. And I have never really saw myself that way. But I'm learning to just go with it. You know, when people say things to you, and especially when it's repetitive, and especially if you credit where it's coming from, I mean, obviously there's always wisdom and discernment to be applied in that. But I'm just, you know, I've just kind of learned to just go with it and to jump out there into the deep. But God does meet you there. And so I just want to encourage you with that. So anyway, I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I started leading this group, and actually our very own Nancy Horn joined in with the group. And the women were talking about what we wanted to do, because there was many resources. You can watch videos, you can read books, you can do a lot of different things in this time. And so we meet every 2 weeks over lunch, and the girls wanted to read a book and discuss it because we're women and we like to talk. And so we recognized that and decided to read a book and discuss it. And we chose to read this book, Why Work? And I wanted to highlight it because it was written by Nancy and Howard Olson. Did I say Horn? I'm so sorry. Nancy and Howard Olson. This is where grace comes in, I just want to say. So the book really was super intriguing to me and really highlighted some things in some different ways that I had never seen them or thought about them before. So I entitled the message, totally stealing from the book. I just want to give credit to the book, because a lot of the things that I'm pulling out today were written in this book. And the book will be available out in the lobby after service. Just asking for a donation. Okay, it's all set up out there. There are some really, really good things in the book. So I just wanted to highlight that. So I titled my message, Called to Make a Difference. And the first point that I wanted to make was, I'm getting happy with the clicker. It's going to be an adjustment. Okay. Is work is worship. And I don't know about you guys, but I have never thought of work as worship before. Anybody else? Not me. I hadn't recognized that. I always knew that it was important to be diligent in what you do and to do it to the best of your abilities, that's part of our witness and our serving God. But I have never viewed work as worship before. And so that was kind of a revolutionary thought to me and really made me think of work in a much different way than I had before. Okay. So, here we go. Okay. So, I have too many things up here. That's the problem. I wanted to refer to this scripture, which is straight out of the book as well, Colossians 3:23 through 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So I kind of got, you know, Rod, you've talked about that many times, and I kind of got that point, but thinking of work as worship was a little bit new to me. And so wanted to read a little bit more from the book. God directed Adam to work and care for the garden. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. That's from Genesis 2:15. Note that this occurred before the fall. God instituted work for man's benefit, not for punishment. How many of us occasionally think work is kind of a punishment? I mean, really? Sometimes we don't really think it's really for our benefit, right? Or not every day anyway. But it is. Work is a principal means of fulfilling the great commandments to love God, to love other people, and to love yourself. God's purpose for your work flows out of these commandments. This is the essence of his will for you. Through work, God is using you to bless others by demonstrating his love. He first demonstrated his redemptive love to mankind through the sacrifice of Christ. Now he invites you to exemplify it as his ambassador through your relationships with others. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And that's out of 2 Corinthians 5:20. Puts it in a different light, huh? So, if every believer would go to work fully convinced that he or she is worshiping God through labor, and that every constructive action at work is a form of caring for God's creation, our cities would never be the same. Isn't that true? See, I'd never thought about that. I'd never thought about what part we could play even at work. And I did want to say that for me, because I am a business owner, and so I, in the past, I always got that it was important to, you know, be the same person throughout the week. You know, you don't come to church on Sunday, read your Bible, close it, and then go throughout the rest of the week. That it really is important to serve God every day and to be aware of that. But I had never got especially as a business owner, I think for me, I really felt held back in sharing my faith at all at work because of all the legalities of our society today. I didn't ever want anyone to feel pressured. And I think that there was just a certain element of fear involved in that. So I just tried to, you know, be the best Christian that I could be and be somewhat of a light, but I was never very outspoken or really didn't share my faith in any specific way with people. You know, I had a little bit, you know, made mention of going to church and some of those things, but I hadn't really shared my faith much. And I realized that that was really fear, and that that's something that God really did want me to do in a more demonstrative way. Obviously, with wisdom and discernment applied, I mean, and the other thing is, going back to, you know, the way that we see ourselves, I have never seen myself as evangelistic. I don't think that that is one of my gifts, but it doesn't mean that I can't, you know, be light in that place. And so I just realized, hey, God really wants me to do something a little bit bigger and a little more intentional with my everyday life. And one of the things that I have done is to recognize that, and then every single day I spend time with the Lord in the morning, which I really do think is important because it does set your day, and made a very conscious decision and effort every day to say, okay, God, how can I serve you today? Today, let's just break it down. Today, how can I serve you today? Because I also think many of us as Christians kind of think, well, that's up to Franklin Graham, or that's up to Rod Hallecky because he, you know, has this ministry, and you know, but God wants to use each of us. We're his ambassadors. And even if you go back to, for those of you who are here, with David Cunningham's prophecy that, you know, the river would flow in and then go out into the community. Well, we're supposed to be part of that, right? That God wants to use us in that way. I mean, that was a really good word. So how do we do that? And I think that there's so much emphasis today put on how do we get people in the church building, that we don't think about how do we as Christians go out into the society where all the people are. I mean, we interact with secular people probably on a daily basis, most of us, right? So we have that opportunity. And on one hand, I really want to encourage you because I think we have an amazing church. I really do. It's really intimidating to get up here and speak, and you guys really do. You are so encouraging and helpful, and so I just really appreciate that. So I do want to really encourage you that I think most of you are doing a great job of it. I really do. This is not, you know, any kind of condemnation. I'm just trying to get you to think a little bit more intentionally about it and really being sensitive to the Holy Spirit throughout your day. One of the things I noticed about me personally is when I come to church, I am kind of sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I look around and I'm like, God, is there anything that you want me to say to anyone? And I sometimes will have an encouraging word or whatever. But I wasn't doing that with that much intention in my daily life. And so I think wherever you are, if you're a mom, if you're working, you know, if you are going to school, if you, you know, work in the workplace, whatever you do, just be more intentional about how you're doing it and realize that every single thing that you do is in service to God. God really is in those details and wants, you know, we have him with us all the time, right? He doesn't leave us. So how do we connect with that more intentionally and then go out and serve the people that he puts in our pathways, by the way? You know, nothing's a coincidence. The people that you work with, you are there for a reason, wherever you are, whether you're enjoying it, hopefully, or whether you're not enjoying it. And, you know, we all have times and seasons, but you are there for a reason. And so it's really, you know, connecting with God and saying, okay, why am I here? And what is it that you want me to do? And maybe instead of looking at this big macro picture of how can I make this huge, huge impact for God, I kind of think most of us are really meant to just serve God in all those details, in having a kind word, in being really nice, in being that great example, in not losing our cool in difficult situations, in speaking that encouraging word. I think some of those things are so undervalued by us because we don't necessarily see the fruit or the benefit, but that is huge value to God. I really think that is huge, huge value to God. So you don't need to be a leader, although I would say, I would really like to make the argument that everyone who follows God is a leader. I think you can be a leader in your household, you can be a leader in your group of friends, you can be a leader wherever you are, and you don't have to be a leader to make a big impact. You know, I happen to have a place of business, but I think God wants to use everyone. God doesn't really value leaders more than not leaders. You know, we're all the same to God. It's just the platform, right? This is where I go off the rails. So we're going to see what happens. We're going to see what happens next. The workplace is the greatest mission field. I think I kind of made that point, right? Okay. And here's, I already talked about this, but we'll read it anyway. We can turn an ordinary job into an extraordinary mission if we realize that God has specifically called us to our place of work as an opportunity to influence others for his kingdom. I'm really sorry. Am I the only one that really didn't get this? Because I was going to say you're going to like need to spend some one-on-one time with me if I'm like the only one that... Sorry. I know you've talked about work and stuff, Rod, but I never saw it quite in this light. So, okay. A little bit more from the book. It says in here, God invites you to be a co-worker with him in accomplishing his purpose. Work is a gift God has given to you. Whether you acknowledge it or not, it's a gift. But, you know, if we acknowledge that, it might be a whole lot more fun. I know for me, when I first started really doing this, we were going through some pretty hard times at work. We had lost one of our top customer, actually, last October, that was like 30% of our business just went away overnight. So it was a pretty scary time. And really challenging on many, many levels. And so just kind of had a hard time being super motivated to go in on a daily basis and face that. And when I started really putting it in this perspective of, okay, God, how do I serve you today? It helped me to not only kind of boil it down and just kind of live day by day instead of, you know, taking on the magnitude of, you know, what are we going to do in the midst of all of this? It's like, what can I do today? There's only so many things I can do in a day, right? And so boiling it down and saying, how can I serve you today, God, really helped me to be much less fearful and filled with anxiety. I think it gave me more creativity and ideas because I was that in tune with God. And it definitely gave me a lot more motivation to go into work on a daily basis. That's one thing I really did want to highlight because it really did. So whatever situation you're in, if you really boil it down and go, you know what, it really is an honor and a privilege to serve our God. I mean, he is so gracious and kind and loving, and it truly is an honor and privilege. And so how do I do that? And it gives you so, like, that's fun, right? For me, that's fun. Like, how do we serve God? So how do I do that today? I just found so much more motivation to go into work on a daily basis. So I just want to encourage you with that. Okay. So work is doing whatever God has called and motivated you to do. Instead of focusing on finding the perfect job, focus on identifying the passions God has given you. John 17:4 says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And God uses the workplace to transform your character in order for God to use you. Your character and faith must be Christ-like. God is transforming your character, motives, attitudes, and values so that you exemplify the redemptive power of Christ-like love in your work. See, that's what I didn't get. I didn't get, oh, Christ-like love in my work. Oh, that's a new thought for me. But I don't know. I think that's more fun, right? Okay, let me fumble through these a little bit. Oh, okay. I'm going to have to get a little more practice with PowerPoint. Yes. We've already done that. I think these somehow are a little bit out of the order that I had them, so that's okay. Okay. I think I've kind of covered a lot of that. Good. Then I won't be fumbling as much anyway. Okay, so God has uniquely crafted you with certain abilities, interests, motivations, and aspirations. He has wired you to experience the joy of using your special abilities, talents, and gifts to serve others while simultaneously accomplishing God's kingdom purposes. Work gives your... Do you see me jump every time? This adjusts, and it goes down, and I'm like... every time. I know, I'm like, I'm not scared of speaking. I'm just scared of them. Oh, that's funny. Okay. Okay. Work gives your life purpose and fulfillment. As you do the work God has uniquely designed you to do, your need for purpose in life is fulfilled. How many of us are looking for greater fulfillment? Don't you think? A lot of us really are, right? I think that's something that God's put in us. Your work enables you to provide for your own family, serve others through giving, and love God in a practical way. Accomplishing your unique God-given purposes gives you more joy, increased motivation, focus, and success in your work. In God's final evaluation of your life, you will be able to answer honestly, "Yes, my life was used to serve you, Lord." And Jesus will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." It's kind of what we're all looking for at the end of the day, right? And here's another good point. God wants to give you greater influence. Jesus often spoke about giving responsibility based on what we do with the little things first. We see an example of this in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14-30. God will enlarge a person's influence when he knows that person will use it wisely for the kingdom. See, so it's really just connecting our faith to our work every day. So, and realizing, you know, especially going through the difficult time that we have kind of been going through at the business, what I noticed was I very often got distracted with trying to make it all work instead of really, you know, just focusing on God and realizing what's important to him. So, and I tend to be a little bit task-oriented and results-driven. And so when I'm walking through the hallway or whatever, I very often have things on my mind of what I want to get accomplished. And so I know one of the things that he really put on my heart was just to pay more attention to the people that are there. Sounds kind of basic, but I think distractions are one way that the enemy really, really gets us off track. Really easily, too. You know, by all those tasks and things that we think we need to accomplish and do in whatever time frame. And what I'm realizing is that it's really about people, though. It's important to be diligent in your work, absolutely, and get things done. But you know, it doesn't really take hardly any more time to just be more aware of people and pay more attention to them. So a couple of little practical things that I've done is whenever anyone comes into my office, there were times in the past where I would be like typing an email and I would just really want to get the email done so I could hit send, so I could feel like I was accomplishing something. And so now it's anyone walks in my office, I stop what I'm doing and they have my full attention. As I'm walking through the halls, I'm just paying more attention to the people that are in my way, saying hi, hello, whatever, noticing what's going on with them. And then still getting whatever done I need to get done, but just paying more attention to them. Just a practical thing that I did. So this is what I'm talking about in some of the little things, in ways that we don't really think that we're serving God, but we can do little things that actually really do serve him in a pretty big way, especially when we're really sensitive to the Holy Spirit and following that. Of course, that's where the magic comes in, right? Is in doing what we're told, which sometimes we don't always want to do what the Holy Spirit's asking us to do. Anybody else relate to that? Like, what are they going to think of me, God? That's kind of weird. You want me to do what? But, you know, the more that we follow him, the greater sphere of influence he's going to expand, right? And then we get to do more and more of that. So if that's your heart, that's one of the practical ways of doing that. Another thing that I did is I didn't even know that that this existed, but there's a company called Marketplace Chaplains who actually have chaplains that come out and serve businesses, which is really an interesting thought to me. I was like, really? Chaplains for business? That's interesting. That's something new and different. And then what do they do? And so I was made aware of it, met with the people, checked into it, asked a whole bunch of questions, and it's really this really neat service where they just assign chaplains to different businesses. They usually have a male and female because most businesses have both. And the chaplains just walk through very quickly, but those chaplains are available to your employees 24/7 for whatever reason. So traditionally, one of the things that we had in the past, and some of you may be familiar with this, is an employee assistance program, which was mostly counseling. What was really neat to me is the chaplains cover like everything. They will set up funerals for people. They will conduct services. They will go to funerals. They'll go to baptisms. They just really come alongside and serve people. And so when they said that they had the two chaplains picked out for my workplace, they said, okay, well, I want to meet these chaplains. I want to know who's coming in here. So I met with the chaplains, and they're these great people. I mean, they are just people who just really want to serve people. They just have a heart and a gifting for that, and they just want to serve people. And you know, I was a little bit worried about it being overly pushy and too evangelistic, and they're really not. They're not pushy at all. They really just come in and just serve the people. They just say hi, check in. They go and have coffee with people. They do whatever the person needs. They just want to meet their needs. And they have incredible connections throughout the community to be able to do that. So they just come in and do that. And then they pray for my company, which was a huge bonus to me. I was like, oh, please do pray for the company. I mean, that I was like, God, that's so neat that you can just have someone so specifically purposed to do that. What a blessing that is to me and to the people that are there. So that's going incredibly well. I just wanted to give them a little plug because it's really a neat thing. Here's another good point. Bringing the kingdom into the workplace can transform its environment and conditions. The church is comprised of believers who can bring the kingdom of God to confront the kingdom of darkness in their workplace. The kingdom of God represents light, organization, peace, order, love, honesty, righteousness, and joy. So I just wanted, and marketplace refers to everything that is happening in the city. It refers to all areas of work, family life, school activities, entertainment, recreation, arts, government, education, and business. The marketplace is the life of the city. The kingdom of God operates in the marketplace. God's people in the various marketplace arenas are the key to making a difference. They have influence over their sphere of work. The church is the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Christians can bring transformation to the workplace, or to the marketplace, sorry, by appropriating their power and authority in Christ over the kingdom of darkness. Isn't that neat? I had never thought about it like that before. That was completely a new thought to me. So now you know why I like the book so much. Just felt like it really spoke to me in a new way and in a more concrete way of how we really do, you know, again, like we sometimes don't realize how much power we have, you know, and we're really connected to the Holy Spirit and have great power. And the one thing I can tell you as a business owner is it really is amazing to me how one negative person can have such a complete impact on the entire workplace. And so my thought was, yeah, but look, if Christians went in and really believed that as they're walking through the door and were that intentional about it with determination in doing that in all the ways that the Holy Spirit tells you to do, one person can have that much of a positive impact on their work. And I don't know about you, but this whole thing of the kingdom of God represents light, organization, peace, order, love, honesty, righteousness, and joy. How many of us would like more of that in our workplace? Or whatever, you know, whatever we're doing, whatever activities you're involved in, even our homes, right? So here's some characteristics of workplace ministers. Workplace ministers could be described as people of honesty, integrity, moral excellence, high character, and influence. They are passionate about the kingdom of God and usually have compassion for the hurting. They think strategically. I wanted to really point that out because I think God is so strategic and we miss it so many times. And so I really just want to encourage that. They think strategically and creatively about ways to impact their sphere of influence. They seek godly wisdom and are led by it as they discern opportunities and bring resources to influence their world in advancing the kingdom. They intentionally utilize God's blessings for this purpose. Workplace ministers are competent leaders with a strong desire to obey God's call by actively yielding to the Holy Spirit as they lead and teach others in areas of character, knowledge, skills, and spiritual maturity. They inspire, mentor, and empower people who have potential. They respond to the Holy Spirit's leading in meeting the needs of people. In so doing, they are accomplishing both the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Isn't that good? And so it talks about the first level of Christians in the workplace are those who are content to merely survive. There's a few people that are content to merely survive, don't you think? It's kind of sad to me when you see people that just kind of seem to just kind of walk through life without a lot of living or excitement in it, you know? The second level of Christians in the workplace are those who apply biblical principles to their work. The third level of Christians in the workplace are those who do their work in the power and fullness of the Holy Spirit. And the fourth level of Christians in the workplace are those who are involved in and committed to the transformation of their place of work with the full expectation that God will use them to transform their workplace, beginning with their niche, whatever that is. They're literally bringing the kingdom of God into their place of work. Isn't that good? I was really excited. I was really, really excited. It really challenged me. It really did. And one of the things that I wanted to say was, you know, one of the things that I really felt like the Lord showed me, part of being that in that women's group, by the way, you know, that was a little bit scary for me, but stepping out there, it's actually like one of my very favorite things today is spending time with those women. It's so much fun. And so anyway, the women decided to check out this Christian networking women's group, which I'm so not a networker. It's just not part of my character. I'm kind of a shy person until I get to know you. And so networking's not really my thing. But we went to this networking event, and they had a speaker. And it was good. It was really a good thing, just not my thing. But it was good. But they had a speaker, and they introduced this speaker, and they said, you know, that she had started 5 businesses, and she was making $10 million a year, and she spoke. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but I just really, it just kind of hit me that even as Christians, I think sometimes we buy into the worldly standards of what success is. Because I don't really think that God really cares that she makes $10 million, you know? I really don't. I think God cares about her heart and how she serves him and what she's doing to do that. But I don't think he really cares that much about $10 million. And then I just kind of, in pondering that, I just felt like God really, you know, pointed out to me how many of the things of this world do we buy into that labels, you know, success to us instead of really saying, okay, God, what is success to you? I know there's a quote by Booker T. Washington that says, success is measured by how many obstacles you overcome. And I love that because I think that's more about life, you know? And especially in serving God, there's obstacles to be overcome, right? But he's our overcomer. That's what he wants us to do. So, you know, the Bible doesn't promise that you're not going to have difficulties in the world. It just promises that he's going to be there through him. So I just really kind of wanted, I was very challenged with that, saying, okay, God, so if I don't buy into the worldly perspective of what success is, you know, then what really is success? And I know even Rod, you've kind of struggled with, okay, how many people, you know, because even that in churches, right, the big mega churches are a little more admired. Like they're looked at like they're somehow better than our church. Well, I don't really think that's God's point of view. I love our church. I think it meets very specific needs to the people that are here. And I think it has specific purpose that is fulfilled, you know, and we are fulfilling that for God. So you know, kind of wanted to challenge everyone. I think it's hard to be in the world but not of the world, as the Bible says, right? So what I wanted to end with today is just, this is what God put on my heart was, okay, so if we don't buy into the world's idea of what success is, and we had to write a resume of what we have done for God, you know, what would that look like? That was super challenging to me. And yeah, I can definitely come up with some things that I've done for God and feel like I've collaboratively accomplished with him. But that's challenging. What would your resume for God look like? Not your resume of all these things that you've accomplished, but what really in the kingdom of God have you done? Because at the end of the day, that's what he cares about, right? So I just want to leave you with that little challenge. little. Yeah. I don't think I've made out mine yet. I think I've started like a few things, but I think there's more to come, which really excites me. I love that God continues to take us and expand us and grow us. Even when it's, you know, it's good for us to be stretched outside of our comfort zone at times, even though you may not want to dive into the deep. Occasionally, you got to be stretched. But it's good. And then I did really feel like God just put it on my heart that if anyone would like prayer just for a fresh anointing for serving God in whatever capacity you currently are doing, whether that's family life or business life or education or whatever it is, I just wanted to offer that. Tom Wise is going to come and pray with me and just lay hands on people. And so if you would like to specifically come up for prayer for that, I would love to do that. I really felt like God said lay hands on people. So don't ever be too shy and miss out on what God wants to do for you and with you and through you. Okay? All right.
Okay, so Sherry, thank you very much. What I wanted to do was sing a song, and then we'll have a general dismissal. But if then you would like to have prayer, I encourage you to come. There was a couple of people, I knew Sherry was going to be praying after the service, so there's a couple of people that came to my mind. I already mentioned to one about getting specific prayer today. But, you know, if the Lord's spoken to you, remember that everything we do in the kingdom, I mean, we need the Lord's grace and help to do it, right? And so so I can hear, I put these on. But this song that... you may know it. It goes back a long way. If nothing else, I just wanted to sing it to us or over us as a congregation. But it's about the Lord glorifying, being glorified through our lives. I glorified you, the scripture there in John said, because I completed the work that you gave me to do. So maybe let's just close our eyes and just listen to this prior to being dismissed and then coming into a time of prayer. But the song says, in my life, Lord, be glorified in my life, Lord, be glorified today. Can you sing that with me? In my life, Lord, be glorified in my life. Lord, be glorified today. Now let's just change it a little bit. In my work, Lord. In my work, Lord. In my work, Lord, be glorified today. Just once more on that. In my work, Lord, be glorified in my today. Oh, be glorified today. Once again. Yes, be glorified today. Do you believe he heard your prayer? I do too. Well, let's stand together, can we, for the blessing? And now may God, who is active in your world, in your life, and in your work, may he guide you by his truth. May he help you to be conscious that he is Lord and governor of everything. May he enable you to work so that you will experience the justice that has its origin in him. May his kingdom come and his will be done in the work you do for yourself, for others, and for him. And may his blessing be upon you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to go ahead and dismiss, but we want this area up here just for a little while to be an altar of ministry. So we're going to have a little music playing. But if you do visit, you can kind of visit quietly or carry it out to the lobby. But those of you that would like to receive just a word of prayer, come on up right now, okay? And Sherry and Tom will meet you up here and just pray for you quickly. It won't be anything long. They're just going to ask the Lord to bless you in a special way today. So come on up right now. God bless you otherwise, and we'll see you next time we're together. Have a happy 4th of July, everybody. God bless you.